Hello, everybody. Welcome to Parshas Ki Sisa, 5765. I always approach this Parsha with trepidation because I'm sure that there's a lot that goes on in this Parsha that I don't even begin to understand. And I have a feeling that I may not be the only one. There's the episode of the golden calf, which is difficult to understand for many reasons. What were the Jewish people trying to do when they made the golden calf? What was their intention, purpose? And if it is a sin, which apparently it is, why did they fall to it so soon after the giving of the Torah? It happened just 40 days after the giving of the Torah, as they still stood at Mount Sinai. And one wonders how they could have fallen to this. There's also a lot in the aftermath of the golden calf, a lot of discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem. I recall that last year, under the studying of Michtav Me'Eliyahu by Rav Dessler, he gave us some handle on this, on the aftermath, and Rav Yerucham speaks, also writes at length about it, but because there's so much written on this Parsha, I didn't get to that part in my preparation. So I'm not going to, unfortunately, be able to discuss that with you. But I know that there's a lot more here. What I did come across in Rav Yerucham's writings was something about the sin itself, the golden calf, which I'd like to share with you. And then I'd also like to share with you how he develops a word which we find in this Parsha. But if we think about it, it's a word that we associate all the time. It's really a metaphor that we use all the time in connection with Judaism. And I never once really thought about why this metaphor is used. And we all use it. We all use this metaphor. And that comes from this Parsha too. So I'd like to discuss those two things. First of all, a perspective on the sin of the golden calf from Rav Yerucham, and then this word, which is a metaphor for Judaism. I'm keeping you in suspense to know what the metaphor is. But as soon as I say it, you will immediately identify with it. And I'll show you that it actually appears many times in the Torah. All right, what can we say about the sin of the golden calf? It is clear from the writings of Ramban and other early commentators that the Jewish people were not seeking, God forbid, to divorce their connection to Hashem. They were, because we see how the Jewish people discuss it. Let's just read a little bit. Vayar ha'am ki voshesh Moshe lo redetz min ha'har. The people saw that Moses had delayed in descending the mountain. Vayikohel ha'am ala haron. This is the beginning of chapter 32. Vayikohel ha'am ala haron vayomru elav kum asei lanu Elohim asher yelchu lefanenu. Kize Moshe ha'ish asher ha'elanu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu mehayalo. People gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Rise up, make for us gods that will go before us. For this man Moshe, who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what became of him." It seems at first glance a little bit incongruous. Make for us gods because we don't have Moshe. Well, what is not having Moshe have to do with having other gods? You don't need Moshe, you need another god. So it's clear, says the Ramban, that they were looking for gods with a capital G, some type of figure that would take the place of Moshe in playing the role of Moshe. Not in playing the role of God. In playing the role as a go-between between the Jewish people and God. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for a go-between because they had Moshe as the go-between. Now he was not here, and so they needed a substitute. So it is not that they were looking for another deity. They were looking for another messenger, another go-between. Well, it was going to take the form of some type of an image, but it was. I'm just saying that the purpose of that image would be as a substitute for Moshe, not as a substitute for Hashem. And you see also later on when they actually when they make the calf in verse 4. Vayikach mi adam vayatzar oso bacheret vayaseu egel masecha vayomru ela elo elo hecha Yisrael asher ha'elucha mi eretz mitrayim. This is your God, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. Now clearly they weren't playing the tape in reverse and bringing back the clock. I mean, whoever took them out of Egypt was Hashem. This was not going to be, if this was a new God from now on, you can't ascribe the exodus from Egypt to this God. Rather, it was a representation of the God that took them out of Egypt. It was, again, a go-between, an image, represented the one God. Also, Vayar Aharon, Vayiven Mizbeach Lefanov, Vayikra Aharon, Vayomar, Chag Lashem Mochar. Aharon saw and built an altar before him, that is the calf. Aharon called out and said, a festival for Hashem tomorrow. It's the same name, Hashem. So, we're not talking about a people that seeks to throw off the belief in the existence of an invisible, all-powerful, omniscient God, Hashem, with a capital G. We're looking at a people who is looking for that tangible, concrete representation of something that connects them to God. Just as that's how they viewed Moshe. We know that when Moshe died, Hashem hid his grave because he didn't want, the sages explained, the commentators explained, they didn't want the shrine of Moshe to become like an icon for worship. Again, because they see Moshe as the in-between, as the human representation. Not that he is God, but that he represents God, that he is the intermediary. And that's what they were looking for, an intermediary to connect them to the one God. So where's the sin, exactly? I mean, well, the sin is that the Torah says you're not allowed to have any images. But that really begs the question. What is the method that we use to connect with Hashem? Well, yes, Hashem is invisible. Yes, Hashem does not have any physical property whatsoever. But are we supposed to... We're physical, and we live in a physical world. Are we supposed to relate to God without the medium of any physical in-between at all? We know that's not true. We know that for example, we just learned about having a Mishkan. The Mishkan has all kinds of even statues, even the cherubs. It has items, it has objects of great worth, the menorah, the aron, the ark, the table, the altar. We bring animals. We take these things and we put them on the altar and we take substance. We take wine. We take flour and oil. We take physical things and we use them in somehow to connect with God. We're given a whole Torah filled with commandments. These are largely using physical things and physical activity, eating and drinking. There's family life. It's all kinds of religiosity that comes through the medium of physical things. So really, what exactly is the problem with using physical things as ways, as tools, as media to connect us with God? Yes, God is all spiritual and without form, without dimension. But because we are people of form and dimension, we relate to God through things with form and dimension. Where exactly is the flaw? And what Rav Yerucham says is that the fine line is when you're using the tool as a way to get to the intangible, unphysical God, and when you start to focus on the physical, tangible medium. When you use the word lehis akev, to get stuck on it. That is the whole question. Are you just using the tool, or are you getting stuck on the tool? You know, the earlier idolaters, the way idolatry got started was because people, in relating to God, looked around and they saw the handiwork of God, like the sun and the stars and the moon. And they said, these were creatures of God. Look how perfect they are. Look how beyond our reach they are. Look how steady and constant they are. And that would have been reason to relate to God in a big way. We make brachas. We make a kiddush levana. But what happened with time is they became so fixated on them that they became stuck on the object. And then they forgot that the object was just an icon, just an association for them to grasp in their mind, something which is intangible. And the same thing with the calf. There were people among them. Now the truth is, we always, Steve mentioned the mixed multitudes. There were different reactions to the calf. Many, many people did not sink into idolatry because they saw the calf and they said, well, the calf is just an intermediary to God. Our allegiance is still to God. We're still thinking about God, the intangible, in our thoughts. There's nothing inherently powerful or holy about the calf. But there's some people that got stuck on the calf. And those are the people that brought it, that made it into an idol. Those are the people that made it into the great sin. And by association with them, and by the fact that our intention had gone sour, enabled people to go astray, it became a sin for all of us. So the bottom line is, I'm really getting to the end of this thought, and I'll take some questions. The point of all of this is that we really tread on a fine line in life, in religious life. We have a difficult task because we are physical, we are finite beings, and we are supposed to connect with the infinite. We're supposed to connect with a God which we can either see, smell, hear, touch. It's all in the realm of the spirit, of the intangible. And therefore, we have to use the means that God gave us, that God prescribed us, to us, to use to relate to Him, the mitzvos. And that involves action, that involves physicality. The fine line is to use those things, but never to get stuck on them. To remember that it is the transcending of those physical media. It is the ability to daven, to be able to connect on a spiritual level using our mind, using our heart, and to remember that there is a God out there that is beyond any physical description. And all of the media are just those tools that God provides for us with which to connect to Him, given our physical limitation. But they are not the goal. They are not the destination and the aim of our service. This is his general approach to the concept of the golden calf. Okay, questions? Jeffrey.
Was it not the tribe of Dan that refused to give any gold to make the golden calf with?
I know it was the women that didn't want to give the gold.
Well,
the tribe of Dan did not give the gold?
I understand the tribe of Dan were also refused to give gold to make.
That would be wonderful. The tribe of Dan, of all the tribes, was the weakest in the area of idol worship. In the book of Samuel, we're learning, in the book of Judges, it was the tribe of Dan that got involved with a special idol worship temple for many, many years, the temple of Micah. And the tribe of Dan is actually attributed to have a weakness in the area of idol worship. So I'm not familiar with what you're saying, but it could be that they used to be strong and then they became weak. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just reading from the translation, so I don't know whether the Hebrew says the same thing. But it seems that in the commandments, if you shall not make for yourself an image, and that everything in the Mishkan, they weren't making for themselves, that Hashem had told them exactly what He wanted them to make.
Right.
And maybe the idea here is that they had gotten an idea in their head that was not a truthful idea.
Right. That's very true. I mean, the way to protect ourselves from getting stuck on something is if we only do what God tells us to do. Whenever we take an object, a mitzvah that requires an object or an action, if we say a bracha, and we say, Asher kiddushanu, you, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you, God, we're talking to the intangible again, who commanded us to do this, that is a great way to make sure that we don't get stuck on what it is we're doing. If we're making it up, if we're trying to use our own sense to think of what would be a good way to connect with God, that's a great way to get stuck on it. Because then we have separated ourselves from the service of God. We didn't get it from God. We just made this object over here. We're going to get stuck on it. Then that's going to become the focus, and that's going to lead to idolatry. So I think that is, in practice, that is where that's how you delineate between proper use of objects and the improper use of objects, whether or not it is part of the mitzvah. So we should always, when we're doing a mitzvah, when we're dealing with something physical, we should always remember to connect it with the commander, the creator of that, and not with the thing itself. Always preface it by saying, I'm doing this physical action because this is what the intangible, invisible God asked me to do, commanded me to do. Okay, now, on to the metaphor. What is a metaphor that we all use to describe Judaism or relationship to Judaism and to Torah? It comes up in the colloquial speech, and it's in the Torah.
Torah is the tree of life.
Tree of life. Good. That's a great one. That's one of the popular metaphors, one of the important ones. Not the one we're going to discuss, but you're on the right track.
The image
of God, that would be a metaphor for man. Okay, so looking for something a little bit more general, the man's relationship to God and Torah.
The
people of the book.
Water.
I don't know if that's a metaphor as much as an actual fact. This is our book. Water. Okay. That would be more like I once learned the difference between a metaphor and a simile.
God's chosen people.
Chosen people. That's not such a metaphor. That's more. That's an actual statement of truth. What is it called when somebody? We want to say that somebody is involved in Judaism. Or you want to say, God forbid, a person is not involved in Judaism. what might be a metaphor that you will use? Path.
What?
Path.
On the path or off the path?
Path. Derech.
No.
Derech.
He'd let me on the path
again. See, a simile is when you say something is like. Torah is like water. Torah isn't water. But water is a good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, but you don't say that Torah is like a path. You say, Torah is a path. It's a derech. On the derech, or off the derech. God forbid so-and-so went off the derech. Where did this metaphor come from? It came from the Torah. Well, how did Hashem tell Moshe that the Jewish people had started to worship the golden calf?
Interesting.
You see it?
Yeah.
Which
English
one?
Corrupts it.
They have strayed quickly from the way. Okay, but the word is Soru Maher Min HaDerech Asher Tzivisim. They have strayed quickly from the derech. Derech is a road. You travel, you say Tefilas HaDerech. The wayfarer's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The prayer to be said on the road.
The right road.
So, whether a Jew is doing the right thing, properly related to God or not, we talk about whether he's on the derech. Regarding Avraham, another reference is in Parsha, in Bereshis, the 18th chapter, verse 19. The Avraham, Hayo Yihya Lagoy Gadol, Vatsum, the Nivruchuvo Kol Goye Haaretz. It says, Avraham is surely to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him. For I have loved him because he commands his children and his household after him that they may keep the Shomru Derech Hashem, that they may keep the way, the path, again they say way, the path of Hashem, the Derech. And Derech Hashem, that's the book that was written by Rabbi Lutzata, which we quote many times, the way of God. Derech, it's called a derech. Derech is a metaphor. Derech means a road.
What is the word?
Derech is a
derech
road.
Eretz mean?
Derech Eretz is the road, the way of the land, the path of the land. The way that people. So we're saying that keeping Torah is like being on a road. A road is something that connects you from point A to point B. A road has a destination. And in fact, in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu, and part of this great aftermath of the story of the golden calf, which, as I said, is full with meaning and interpretation. But there's one line where he says, in chapter 33, verse 13, and now if I indeed found favor in your eyes, make your ways known to me. Teach me your derech, Hashem. Teach me your derech. It doesn't say, teach me your laws. Teach me your derech. So, Rav Yerucham writes pages about this. What is explained by the metaphor of derech in the Torah? So I'd like to share with you. I took notes, quite a lot of material that I read through, and some of it I don't understand 100%. But I made some points about how is our understanding of Torah and Judaism colored and shaped by the metaphor of derech. What implications does this have for a Jew to know that the way to serve God is through being on a derech? What are the implications of this? So first of all, the first question is, if we're on a derech, that means that there's a destination. What's the destination? Isn't the Torah the destination itself? Why do we have to be on the path Where are we going with this path? You want to say something?
Isn't it perhaps a path between right and wrong and good and evil and avoiding evil inclinations? Isn't the path the way?
But remember, a path is a road that connects you from one point to another point. Now, it's true. You have to make sure that you stay on the path, and right, I guess, would be to stay on the path, and wrong would be to get off the path. But that doesn't answer the question of where does the path lead. That means there's some type of a destination that we are looking for.
So it's not enough to just walk forward on the path, stand still, take a few steps back, and remain on the path. You need to be on the path moving forward.
But we have to know what we're moving forward to. That's the first thing. You don't want to get on a trip if you have nowhere to go. If there's a derech, that implies that there's a destination. What is that destination? What is the blueprint?
The blueprint?
How does that provide a destination?
Because it's the ultimate in ways of living with God and with man.
Okay, you're describing a state of being, which does not imply that there's a destination. You're saying that the Torah is the way that you do what? It's the way that... What's the destination? Where are you going?
To make yourself a better human being.
Okay, so how do I define that? Where is that?
The mitzvot
is the way for what? To make me a better human being.
To Olam Haba?
To connect.
So that... Okay. All right. Like Hashem, we spoke about the idea of resembling... So the metaphor that Rav Yerucham uses for the destination of the derech is the word Chatzros Hashem. That's from Psalms. The Chatzros Elokeinu Yafrichu, in the courtyards of God. That means there is a point at which you get there, and that's where you are already in the the courtyard. You've taken the path, and you're now in the courtyard with God. Who has ever made this destination?
Moshe.
No.
He
says Moshe did not make the destination, because if he would, he wouldn't have been asking God to show him the derech. The verse that I just read. Moshe says, show me your derech. That means Moshe is not in the Chatzros Hashem. Who is in the Chatzros Hashem? Who is in the courtyards with God? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So, and they didn't have the Torah, remember. They lived before the Torah. They were there.
Innocent children.
Who?
Innocent children. No, forget it.
You're not born with it. It's not something that you're born with and then you lose it. It's something that you've got to find. So there is a destination called being in the close proximity with God. Not a physical thing. So the presumption here of our people is that we're not there, and we have to get there. We have to get on the road, and this is the path to take. The Torah is now the path to take to get to the Chatzros Hashem. So that's our first thing. Where are we going? We're going to the courtyards of Hashem. The second point is, why do we need this derech? Because obviously we are far away from the Chatzros Hashem. We're not there. We're not there, so we need to get there. The next implication is that if you are on the derech, you're going to get there. Because it connects you straight from here to there. If you stay on this path, you will reach your destination. It's like the maze. What are the mazes called when you have to try to find the right?
Labyrinth.
What? Labyrinth? So if you're in the wrong path, you're not going to get there. But if you're in the right path, all you got to do is keep on going, and you will get to the end. So that's the great thing about the Torah, is that if you're on the derech of Torah, you will get to your destination. And if you ever wonder, if it gets dark and you're not sure where you are, you know what to do. Just try to make your way back to the path. And then just get on and make sure you're going in the right direction. And you'll get there. We can sometimes get off the derech. Sometimes you can get off the derech. That's where we get the expression, off the derech. But if you're off the derech, that means you can get back on the derech. And you know, chutes and ladders, sometimes you have to go back, but you just, next turn, you just keep on going forward, and maybe you'll find a ladder. Tshuva is called a derech, repentance, because when a person sins, so he gets off the path. Tshuva is a way to get back on the path. Tshuva is like that ladder in the game. The sin is like the chute, and tshuva is like the ladder. You get right back on the path. Now, another thing which is which we know about paths and roads is that there's, if you're at least traveling on an interstate, what are you going to find along that road?
Signs.
What else?
Traffic guardrails.
Traffic. Other people going in the same direction. Guardrails. Good. What else?
Gas stations.
Places
hotels,
to
motels,
go. Hotels. Motels. Places to recharge, to refuel. Places to rest.
Police.
People that help you. Living a life of Torah is like being on a path. And it has all these amenities. It has stations. It has places to refuel. Think about your own personal life. Right? Think about when you started out, when you were born. Think how many places you've been. You know, you've been on this path. And think how many people you've met that have shown you the direction, that have shown you, have been signs for you. Think of all the places you've been able to go and get strength from, and to really feel at home. In fact, sometimes if you really get a nice hotel, and we don't usually do this, but imagine you were an unseasoned traveler and somebody took you to your first hotel in your life, right? You might not want to leave. You might say, why should I go visit my cousin? I'll stay right here. This is a nice place, right? Of course, if you know where you're going, you're going to say it's nice, but I have to keep on traveling. I have to keep traveling. This is not my destination. This is just a stopover. It's enjoyable stopover. I've gained a lot from it, but I still have to continue traveling. So this is part of the implication of being on the path. So you have to realize there are wonderful people and wonderful road signs and wonderful policemen and wonderful motels and gas stations and restaurants and snack shops. We have to remember we're on the road. We have to keep on going towards our destination. What's our destination? Is our destination to go to move to that community and then to stop growing? No. That community might just be a gas station. It might just be a nice hotel. But I have my path to get to the destination, which is Chatzros Hashem. I can't stop growing until I get there. What is the fuel, actually? What is the fuel? What propels me down the path? It's such a long journey. How can I get to the end? I don't even know where the end is. I don't know how many miles. It's not on my GPS. So, our fuel is mitzvah, goreres mitzvah. Do one mitzvah. It will lead you to the next mitzvah. And that will propel you on. And that mitzvah will lead you to the next mitzvah, and that will tell you on. Mitzvah, goreres mitzvah. That's all you need to know. That's your fuel. Every mitzvah will propel you to the next one. That's the mode of transportation. You have to remember that just as when you're traveling on the 85 going north, there's also another 85 that's going south. Right? If God made a world with a balance between good and evil, just as there are paths, straight paths and right paths is also wrong paths. And we have to remember that the wrong paths also have signs, and also have hotels, and also have policemen. And if you get off, you're on the wrong side of the road, you're going to find all these nice welcoming things and all these welcoming people making you feel at home. So you have to remember, which path are you on? Because either way, you're going to be on a path. And if you get off, you get on the wrong one, you can still get off the exit and turn around and go back on the right one. But remember, there are paths going in different directions in life. God provided both of them for you to make the right choices. How do I know? How do I know what path I'm on? Well, there's the good cops and the bad cops. I mean, the people that are on the right path wear white hats, and the good people on the other path wear black hats. Whoops. Let's switch that around. I didn't like that. Let's switch it up. But, no, the point is, who do you identify with? Which people? You know, I'm not asking you personally where you're at, but which are the people that you look towards as your morei derech, as the people that you look to show you direction? That is a good indicator of which road you're on. If you're looking at the good cops, then you're probably on the right path. If you find yourself admiring and flattering the bad cops, that might be an indication that you're on a different path. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu ask God to show him the way? Wasn't he on the derech already? Hadn't he already reached, I think Herb said, or Dan? Moshe was already in the Chatzos Hashem, Dan said. But he asked Hashem for the path, for the road. That means Moshe is still traveling too. You mean all of us are on the same road? Isn't there a difference between the tzaddik, the experienced, the wise, seasoned scholar and saint, and just this common person who's struggling? Yes, we're all on the same road. But the difference is that one travels a little faster. He may be a little ahead, but he still has to get to the destination. He's not sure where it is. We all travel on the same road, and we pass each other by, and we help each other. We get off at the destination. Maybe we'll meet somebody at the gas station, and maybe we're both here at the same time. Maybe one of us started way back in Florida, and the other one started in Georgia, but we met at the same place. But we're all traveling on the same road. We're all trying to get to that destination. One way to travel quicker, if you want to increase your speed, realize that the more less wind resistance, what do they call that? The aerodynamics of the vehicle, you'll travel faster. To make a traveler more aerodynamic, we try to utilize ruchnius, spiritual values. The more spiritual you make yourself, the quicker you'll go. Material things, material concerns can tend to slow us down. We can still be traveling, but we might not be traveling as fast. Utilizing the spiritual things, Torah study, moderation in physical indulgence, those are things that can help us pick up speed. We get more gas mileage. Those are things to help us. We're all on the same derech, but we can increase our speed. Now, sometimes two people can be at the same exact distance from the destination, but one person is going this way, one person is going that way. How far are you from the Chatzros Hashem? Same distance. But one's going in the right direction, one's not. So it doesn't always matter how far you are from the destination. What's more important is which way are you facing. This is a very, very important thing in Judaism. That is far more important than how many miles you are from the destination. Are you heading in the right direction? The greatest tip, traveler's tips, is make sure you stay on the road and you get as many traveling hours in your day. Try not to make too many stops. You know, when you have small kids, you're taking a long trip, they want to stop every half hour, right? But the parents, they try very hard to maybe take a little bit longer, not to make so many stops. And the same thing is true in the spiritual journey. How can we make sure that we're always traveling, that we maximize our traveling time? We've got to take so many breaks. We can't study all the time. We can't do mitzvahs all the time. We've got so many things to take care of. Well, you could get up earlier, but then you might be too tired to travel. There's one way that you can stay on the road and travel all day long. Do everything that you're doing l'shem shamayim. Let all of your activities be for the sake of furthering the cause of the path. If you're working, work with the intention that you're going to earn money, you're going to support a family and help the family along in their path. Spend money for those type of things, education. Help others with mitzvahs. Be generous with your money and use your money and your resources to help further other travelers. This way, even your job, even as you're sitting at your desk, even if you're when you're out in the at the construction site or whatever it is you're doing with your time, you are traveling. Because even when you eat, even when you have family time, you are traveling because you're doing what you're doing with the kavana, with the intention of reaching the destination. You can be traveling no matter what you're doing. If you disconnect, if you say, well, right now I'm taking time for myself, you can do the same thing and have it for the right purpose. You can eat for self-indulgence or you can eat to be strong and healthy. One way you took a break from the trip and the other one did. You're still on the road. So that's why that's what we find in the words of the sages always, Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, whatever you're doing, whether it's per se a spiritual act or whether it's not, do it for the sake of heaven, and then it will be a spiritual act. And then you will be traveling forward even as you are involved in your mundane activities. Finally, we see from here an appreciation, if nothing else, we see from this metaphor of derech that Judaism is not just a doctrine. It's not just a religion, something that you believe in, a collection of principles. This is what we believe. This is what they believe. Much, much more than that. Torah is a derech. Torah is a path where you're moving, where it shows you where to go to get somewhere. I don't know. I think it's unique. I think Judaism is unique in that respect. It's a derech. Other religions are doctrines. But we should, and not only that, it's a derech for each one of us. It helps each one, every individual finds his derech in the Torah. If you have something, if somebody is preaching a way of life which is not a derech for everybody, if you look at it and you say, I don't think that's for me. I don't even see how I get on. There's no entrance. There's no entry ramps. Do not enter. I see out there, but I can't get on that road. Then it might not be Torah. Because if it would be Torah, you would see the signs right away. You would see how you fit right into it. That is the greatness, the beauty of Torah, is that it, not only is it a derech, but it is a derech that every Jew can find his or her path and entry into. But because we've learned that we're on the derech, and because we've learned that there's lots of tachanos, lots of stops and stations and people and signs, we've got to make use of them. Don't ignore the signs. Every sign is important to see and watch and read. If you miss it, you don't look at it, you may be missing some information. If you don't stop, I'm not saying you have to stop at every rest area, but they're there for us to use and they're there to refuel. Make sure that we utilize our directions, our signs, our stops, our gas stations, because we're going to need them. They're there for us. If each one of us is on a personal derech, that means that all of the amenities that are available to us are there for us to use. If we don't use them, we may be running out of fuel. So, anyways, it's interesting. It's amazing to see what a metaphor This is not somebody, a man-made. This is a metaphor that God gave to the Torah, so that we, living in a physical life, can understand what Torah really is. And it's amazing how many implications there is from this one word, from this one concept of derech. So, may we enjoy contemplating the concept of derech, and may we enjoy our trip, and may we all travel together and meet at our destination, b'chatzros Hashem, in the near future.
Oh, yeah.